I will be reading from Mark chapter 13, beginning at 24, verse 24, through the end of the chapter. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Invite Randy to come forward and we'll have prayer. And let's do something different today. I invite you to extend your arms toward Randy, and as we pray a blessing on him and for his guidance. Dear God, thank you for Randy and his preparation in today's sermon, and we pray that your spirit is on him and the congregation and what he says and what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Neil. Good morning, Whitmer Heights. So I was thinking about Advent season and first time I've ever seen Advent done at Whitmer Heights. I was just thinking about how important it is to incorporate other senses than just intellectual kind of head knowledge. And we had wonderful worship music this morning, and I'm looking around and seeing the beautiful arts and the Advent candles that give us smell. And just like how we can come into this season of Advent incorporating all of the different ways that we can worship God using different senses. So I'm just grateful this morning for people who can use their gifts in different ways. Has anybody here ever had a first world problem? I've been having a lot of first world problems this week. We had a plumbing issue in the house, and so I had to cut off a piece of drywall in our kitchen. And I found myself saying these things. I hope this isn't going to be too expensive. I hope I can get the drywall in my car that I need to go pick up at Lowe's. I hope my sister's going to be okay if I work at this tonight. First world problems. Because I have a car to go pick up drywall, I have money to go buy drywall, and I have a house to live in. Sometimes I think about the word hope. The first things that come to my mind are, I hope the Eagles win. I hope I can go visit my parents this Sunday and I'm not too busy with everything else going on. You get the point. It's first world things that I'm hoping for. And sometimes thinking about Advent, this season of hope, it's a little bit hard for me to think about what it's like to really be on the margins and to what it would be like to really hope that I had food on the table for my next meal. What would it be like to read these texts in Advent really needing hope? And so part of what I'm doing this morning is I'm acknowledging my own privilege that I come to and as I read these texts. And some of us, me included, are thinking, what in the world is this Mark text about the end times dealing this morning with? It's talking about hope. Blame the people who put the lectionary together. Does anybody, all of you lectionary enthusiasts out there, catch a theme every single year is the first Sunday of Advent? What's the theme? When we do A, B, and C lectionary, there's something that's always consistent. The text is always about the second coming of Jesus. And I was thinking, that's interesting. Why is the first Sunday of Advent in years A, B, and C always about the second coming of Jesus? So I did a little research. The term Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which is the translation of the Greek word parousia, commonly referred to as the second coming of Christ. So in Advent, we can look at it from really two specific angles here. The first one, which we often think about, is preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus and the birth and the Christmas story. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and this season being a time of preparing our hearts for Christ entering into the world, the light of the world that Israel had hoped for so long, and finally the Messiah arrived. That's the one angle of Advent. But the second angle of Advent is the second coming of Jesus. The parousia, the second coming of Christ. And so that's why in lectionary A, B, and C, the first Sunday is always a text related to the second coming. And so we come to this text this morning, at least I do, with a lot of baggage. I don't know if any of you all have some baggage with this text. But it just, we come with different theories out there about post-millennialism and premillennialism, and is this about, you know, fear that can so quickly sweep in with some of these texts that we read about how Jesus is going to return again. And it's ironic because most of my baggage has to do with fear around some of these texts, and the theme this morning is on hope, not fear. And so this morning I want to find hope in Mark. Find good news, not fearful news. One of the things as we dig into this text and what Mark is writing is to understand the context that he's writing in. And Mark had some competing traditions going on in his mind. The first one is called an imminent eschatology. Eschatology is a fancy word for meaning end times. So in Mark's time, as he was writing this, there was a strong tradition of imminent eschatology, meaning Christ's return was going to be very soon. And we can see that in this running through in this text this morning. But there's also another tradition called delayed eschatology, which means Christ's return would be not as soon. It would be in the future. And interestingly enough, you can also see themes of that running through this text this morning. So we have imminent and delayed. And Mark is kind of like going back and forth. He can't quite make up his mind. And this morning I want to introduce one other word, and that's participatory eschatology, in that we participate in Christ's return right now. I want to give us a quote from Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament scholar and writer, and he says this, quote, "The remarkable act of hope that permeates the Old Testament lies in the fact that the promises Israel heard and remembered link together the character and intent of Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, with concrete material reality of the world. Yahweh's promises do not concern escape from the world, but transformation within it." Isn't that beautiful? Yahweh's promises do not concern escape from the world, but transformation within it. And so this morning we have a text of the second coming of Christ. And I encourage us to think, as we're thinking about hope and Advent season, of how we can use a text like this this morning to not escape from the world, but to work at transformation within the world. So where in Mark what might we see this call to participate in Christ's coming? Well, I found some really interesting things as I started digging in here. And the part that I would like to focus on the most is verse 32. I'm going to read that. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. And here's, this is it really it here. In the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow, or at dawn. There's four different times there that we're to keep awake. And as I was digging into that, there's a really interesting parallel that we can see here. Notice the way in which Mark divides these scenes up, leading to the crucifixion. The first one, the Last Supper. And this is out of Mark 14:17. It says, when it was evening, he came with the 12. Okay, so there's the parallel to evening. Then the second time, Jesus' prayer and betrayal, says, this is from 14:40. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, because it was in the middle of the night. There's the second parallel. The third one, at the close of Jesus' trial, Peter denies Jesus for the third time, just as the cock crowed for the second time. That's in 14:71-72. And then the fourth parallel, Jesus is delivered to Pilate for trial, quote, as soon as it was morning. That's in 15:1. So isn't that interesting? Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, cockcrow, or at dawn. All four of those parallel the road to the cross. What is Mark telling us here? Whether it's imminent eschatology or distant eschatology, I think there's a more important word for us. And that is that Jesus is saying, in my return, it's going to be cross-shaped. It's going to look like the cross. What do I mean by that? God in Jesus loves us, is with us, is with those most on the margins. And what does God do on the cross? He doesn't come with his fists up, with fear and defense, but the cross is like the hands here, open, vulnerability, self-giving up, love. That's the shape of the cross. And Mark here parallels the four different times with the journey to the cross. It's powerful stuff. From this perspective, I think, Mark isn't simply mediating between competing traditions, but he's inviting us to imagine another way, that whenever Jesus may come again, that we can look for vulnerability, openness, and love. I think as I come over here, and I don't know, I just, sometimes I think we don't need to speak so much. Because sometimes I think God can work in our hearts and the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts in ways that words just can't capture it. And so maybe this week, I invite you to think about the Advent season and think about open hands. And what is God inviting us to this season? And I think oftentimes when I think of a text like this and I think of the second coming of Jesus, it's so easy to focus on, you know, when is Jesus going to return? And maybe the more important question is, where do I see Jesus right now? Here and now. And oftentimes, it's the places where we kind of least expect. But this Advent, with open hands, let's be open to see where God is showing up in our lives. To where we see hope of God working in this world. To where we see God's love and God's light in this world. Wimmer Heights, this is a church where I see God showing up. And I think about like different ministries, and one of them specifically that's on my mind is the CVCCS, which is, we're actually the closest church in the Conestoga Valley Ministerium to the CVCCS, which is literally just like half a mile down the road. And there's a place where I see God showing up. That's where I see cross-shaped love. And I see it amongst people here at Whitmer Heights too. And so I'm giving thanks this morning with open hands of how we see the cross in Christ's return. Let's pray. God, in this season of Advent, we come to you in expectant hope and waiting in celebration of your presence with us on this earth through the Christmas narrative. And we also come this morning in this season of Advent thinking about your second coming, fully aware that you are with us right now in this world, that you are working in this world, and that we get to participate with you right here and right now. So we thank you for that. And we thank you that your coming into this world is cross-shaped love. Help us, God, to participate in that love this week. We thank you that you are our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.